Hey, good morning and good night, everyone. Today's daf is Samech Gimel. We are starting from the bottom of Samech Beis Amud Beis. As promised yesterday, we begin the incredible Maisa of Rabbi Akiva. We begin four lines up from the bottom, Samech Beis Amud Beis, 62b. So Rabbi Akiva, Rayid ben Kalba Savuahava. Rabbi Akiva was the shepherd of Kalba Savuah. Now, Kalba Savuah, you know, it's not usually among the most popular names, right? So Kalba Savuah literally means the sated dog, right? The satiated dog. So let's say, so again, remember, the Gemara Maseches Tainis explains this particular name, that he was given this name because he was an incredible Baal Tzedakah. The Gemara says that aniyim, even poor people, even if they were so hungry, like a famished dog, they would come into their home, he would come into his home, and he would feed everyone. So in fact, it was a title of distinction. So he was the shepherd of Kalba Savuah. Havachazi se barte da havitzeni omali. So Kalba Savuah's daughter saw Akiva, this shepherd Akiva, that he was saniya, that he was modest, umali, and had all, you know, alamailas. He had incredible attributes, characteristics. Amra lei, so she said to him, imik, there was only one problem, that he was a total ama aretz. He was absolutely ignorant. All right, thank you so much. Thank you. He was a total amaretz. So what happened? So she said to him, Amrla, imekat shanalach, if I get married to you, azat labeirav, will you go to yeshiva? Meaning, will you make yourself into a Talmud Chacham? Amrla in. So he said yes. They got married in private because, again, obviously her father would not approve of such a match. You know, this guy, Kalba Savuah, was one of the wealthiest men. The assumption was that he would marry off his daughter to a significant Talmud Chacham whom he would support in learning. So they got married, and they got married in secret. Vishadarti, she sent Akiva off to yeshiva. Shama Avua, Kalba Savuah got wind of the marriage. Afkami Beise, he kicked his daughter out of the house. And he made a neder preventing her from getting any benefit from any of his property. So he was so angry over what she did that literally kicked her out of the house. And again, the neder prevented her from getting any benefit from his property. Also, Yosef Treisari Shnin Bebe Rav, Rabbi Kiva went and learned for 12 years in yeshiva. Ki Asa Aisi Behade Treisari Alfi Tamide. So when he came back after 12 years, he came back with 12,000 students. Shamelahu Sabah de Ka'amar La. So he heard. So what happened? There was an old man who was speaking to this. Now, interestingly enough, here she's not identified, but you remember again elsewhere. So Rabbi Akiva's daughter is identified as by the name Rachel. So we will see, by the way, if Rachel was actually her name or if she got that name based on a statement here in the Gemara. In any event, so an old man came over to Rachel and said to her, "Ad kama top of Samech Gimel, ad kama kamadabres amonas chayim." So he said to her, "How long are you going to live as a widow?" Meaning, what he was saying to her. Now, interesting enough, what this old man seemed to be saying was, "He's probably not coming back. He's probably not come back." Meaning, again, if he's not back all of this time, the Pashas, he's not coming back. You're a young woman. You have to move on with your life. Of course, again, she can't really move. Even if that was true, she can't really move on with her life. Amrale ila diditzayis Yosef treis sari shani achrini. So she said to this old man, she said, "If my husband would listen to me, I would have him stay in yeshiva another 12 years." So we'll say, so amazingly enough, apparently, Rabbi Akiva was an earshot of this, and she did not even realize that he was there. So he said, Omer b'shus kavidna, apparently, again, my time in yeshiva, to go back to yeshiva is with her reshus, and therefore, hader azil v'yosef sari shani achrini. He would bebe rav. Rabbi Akiva went back for another 12 years in yeshiva. The Rebbe saying, you should know, so there's a famous vart by Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. So Chaim Shmulevitz brings down in the Sichos Musar, says, "What's the pshat?" Meaning, like, so what's amazing about the story is, remember, Rabbi Akiva could not go ahead, Rabbi Akiva didn't come home. So meaning, he comes back with 12,000 talmidim. He hears his wife say, "If it was up to me, I'd have him go back for another 12 years. So he turns around, goes right back. Why doesn't he go home first, eat a little dinner, spend a little time with his wife? Because Rav Chaim Shmulevitz makes it amazing. He says, when it comes to Talmud Torah, he says, 12 plus 12 doesn't always equal 24. But rather, again, it's 24 consecutive years that makes 24. The idea with Talmud Torah Bosai is that if you want to become accomplished, There has to be continuity. If there's no continuity, if there's no consistency, if I learn a little bit here, I take a little break there, spatzir a little bit here, I might quantitatively have learned for X number of hours or X amount of years, but if the intensity and continuity and consistency is not present, there's no greatness. So be keep on the stood. If I come home, it's like go back for another 12 years, but there's a big difference between 12 and 12 versus 24. So it turns around and goes right back. Well, so just you should know, the Mesiras Nefesh, just this self-sacrifice of Torah, is simply incomprehensible. It's absolutely incomprehensible. But this is what makes great people great.
He didn't notice he was there because like the 12,000 students were tiptoeing.
She didn't want to
feel. That sounded a little sarcastic. I'm not sure. Sarcasm meter? No, okay. Yaki controls my sarcasm meter. Whatever the mice, it could very well be, by the way, that she didn't even realize that they were back yet. It could be that this conversation is taking place in a totally different location, meaning same town, but different location. She doesn't even know that they're back. See, now, what's interesting, by the way, is it has to be that way. I'll tell you why. Because remember, this old man is saying to her, how long are you going to live as a widow? So obviously, he's making that statement. The old man doesn't know that her husband is back either. So that is sufficiently addressed. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, Ki asa, now when he comes back, now this is 12 years later, so now this is 24 years after he originally left, I see Bahade Esrin Va'arba Alfi Talmidi. So he brought with him again 24,000 students. 24,000 students. So the Gemara says, Shama Devisu Havas Kanaf Kislape. So his wife heard that he was back in town. Now this time she hears that he's back. So what happens? So she comes out to greet him. She wants to go out to greet him. Amrla, it's a heartbreaking story. Amrla Shivifta, her neighbor said to her, Sha'am Mani Levush V'ichsi. So the neighbor says to Rabbi Kiva's wife, to Rachel, why don't you borrow a dress from your neighbor and go out and greet your husband appropriately? You also have to understand something. Rachel was living in abject poverty. The Gemara elsewhere discusses, actually we saw this Gemara in Yevamos also, the Gemara discusses she was a cleaning lady. That's what she did. She was a cleaning lady. This is the daughter of Kalba Savua, the wife of Rabbi Kiva, is living over the last 24 years as a cleaning lady. So her husband is finally back. The neighbors say, borrow a dress. Put yourself together. Go out and greet your husband. So look what he said. Amr Lahu. So Rachel said to her neighbors, Yodea tzaddik nefesh behemto. It's a heartbreaking statement. The tzaddik knows the soul of its animal. Meaning that what she was saying was, my husband knows the mesiras nefesh that I put in for him to learn Torah. I don't have to get dressed up all pretty. I don't have to borrow a nice dress. In fact, my husband should see how much I've sacrificed for him. Kimata legabe nafla alapa kamenashkale lekare. So when Rabbi Akiva came, so Rachel fell at his feet and began to kiss his feet, much in the same way most of us get greeted when we come home, right? So what I mean, this part's not a chiddush, right? So this is, so what happened? So as I remember, no one knows who this woman is, because obviously the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva never met this woman. So they think she's crazy. She's someone who's throwing herself at the feet of Rabbi Akiva and kissing his feet, so they tried to remove her. Amrlu, listen to this. Rabbi Kiva said, Shafkuha, leave her alone. Shali v'shalachem shalahi. Rabbi Kiva makes such an amazing public statement. He says, everything that is mine and everything that is yours ultimately belongs to her. So amazing. Such a public display of hakara satov for the Mesiras Nefesh of his wife. Shama avua da asa gavra rabba lamasa. So remember, again, after that, says, like, we'll say, so Kalba Savua has absolutely no idea as to what's happened with his daughter. Because remember, again, he threw her out of the house. He precluded her from getting any benefits from his wealth. And the truth is, she married this ignorant shepherd. He has no idea what's happened with this shepherd. But what happens, here's what the Gemara says. He has incredible remorse that he made the nether. His incredible remorse that he made the nether, because after all, again, he cut his daughter off. So he heard that a great tzaddik had come to the city. Amar ezel agabe efsha demefer nidroi. So he figured, let me go to the great man, because maybe we could do afaras nadar. Remember, again, this is, we'll listen to the iron. He has no idea that this is his son-in-law. So remember, afaras nadar could be done in one of two ways. You could get together a bezin of hedyotos, a bezin of simple people, or you could go to a chacham muflog. You could go to a sage. So here's the sages in town. Let me go ask him if he could do afaras nadarim. So what happens? So we'll say, so imagine this. A Kalba Savua shows up in front of Rabbi Akiva. Kalba Savua has no idea that this is his son-in-law. Of course, Rabbi Akiva recognizes Kalba Savua because that was his former employer. Amarlei, so Kalba Savua says, I'd like to be Matir the Neder. Amarlei, Adaita de Gavra Rabba Minadart. So listen to this. So Rabbi Akiva says to Kalba Savua, had you known that your son-in-law would become a great man, would you have ever made the Neder? So listen to what Kalba Savua says. Amarlei, Afilu Perek Echad, Afilu Halacha Achas. Kalba Savua says, forget about Talmud Chacham. If I would know that my son-in-law would even learn a Mishnah, right, would even learn a Pasuk in Torah, I'd be so happy with that. Amarlei, Anahu. Rabbi Akiva says to Kalba Savua, I am your son-in-law. Nafo alape v'nashke al kare. He went ahead and he fell on his face. He hugged him. V'nashke al kare, and he began to kiss his feet. I'm sorry, right. So this is the shver. So this is the shver. So this absolutely never happened again in history, right? But again, v'yahiv le'pag mamone. And what happened? And he went ahead and Kalba Savua gave Rabbi Akiva half of his money. Half of his money. So he gave him half of his wealth. Barte Rabbi Akiva of the Leila Ben Azai. And I will say, interestingly enough, you know, there's an interesting discussion about the children of Rabbi Akiva. I will say, if you remember again, in Moed Katan, you remember? Correct? Good. Right, in Moed Katan, we had a story of Rabbi Akiva sitting Shiva for his two sons. So, interestingly enough, Rabbi Akiva seemed to have sons and he lost them. Apparently Rabbi Akiva seemed to have one surviving child, a daughter. So his daughter married Ben Azai, of the Leila Ben Azai Haki, and she did this image of Ben Azai. In other words, that Ben Azai spent a huge amount of time away from home learning Torah. V'hainu da'amri inshi, this is what people say, Rechila bas Rechila azla. Literally, the sheep follows the sheep. In other words, that the daughter did like her mother. That the daughter, again, saw the Mesiras Nefesh of her mother and saw that ultimately the mother allowed for her husband, Rabbi Akiva, to spend a significant amount of time in yeshiva developing himself, and the daughter did the same. So, ke'ov de'ima, kach'ov de'barta. Like the mother does, so does the daughter. Rav Yosef, bereidir, so we'll say it's an amazing Gemara. Rav Yosef, bereidir, Reva, shadre avuhay, lebe'i rav, lekamed Rav Yosef. So we'll say Rav Yosef, the son of Rava, whose Shadri Avuah, his father, sent him to the yeshiva to go ahead and learn by Rav Yosef. Paskule shis shane. So they made up that Rav Yosef was going to learn in yeshiva for 6 years. Kiavatlas shani, after 3 years, mata ma'ale yom di kipuri. Amar ezel va'achzinhu la'an shibesi. So we'll say, after 3 years, Rav Yosef said, you know what, let me go home and check on the family, right? Let me stop in. It was Erev Yom Kippur. Let me stop in and see how my family is. So we'll say, listen to this. Shama Avui, his father heard that he was coming home after 3 years. Shakal mana, he picked up a sword. Benafak la'apeh, and he went to greet his son. So we'll say, obviously, he wasn't going to say hello. The father was very upset that his son was coming home in the middle of his learning. So say, listen to this exchange. Amar lei, zonascha niskarta, have you remembered your harlot? In other words, what he was giving his son Musar, are you coming home because you're coming home to satisfy your urges? Is that why you're coming home? Ika da amri, let's have a different version of this exchange. Amar lei, yonascha niskarta, have you remembered your dove? Meaning, is it that you miss your wife? What the father was saying to the son was, get back to yeshiva. If you want to go ahead and be successful in learning, there's not the time for family will come. But say, obviously, this is a different level, right? But the time will family come. Right now, you must wholly and exclusively devote yourself to Torah. So literally, he came out on the road threatening his son to go ahead and go back to yeshiva. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, some of us have had encounters like this actually with our fathers, right? Not with the sword, but you know, you better get back. You better get back to yeshiva. So the Gemara says, what happened? So itrod lo mar ifsik velo mar ifsik. So we'll say, the Gemara says that they argued intensely and neither had time to have the suda hamafsekes. So the Gemara actually doesn't tell us exactly how the story ended up, but the point of the story is, The point is, it's an incredible yisod, that greatness in Torah only comes through consistency, that greatness in Torah only comes through continuity. And we'll say the truth is, again, so none of us are going off for years at a time to learn, but at least, again, in our daily regimen of learning, it's very important, yisod, that sometimes we think that, you know, all right, you know, this was a good week, I got, you know, 6 out of 7 days, shkoyach to me. No, a good week is 7 out of 7 days, and a bad week is anything less. I don't mean to be too intense here, but you know, but that is the idea. That's our level of continuity and consistency is that we maintain our regular siddurim. That's our continuity, consistency, and that's where true greatness in Torah comes. Says the Mishnah, Hamaredes Abayla. If a woman rebels against her husband, now also we're going to discuss exactly what rebellion means in this context. Pochis in la miksuvasa. We diminish her ksuva. Shiva dinar and b'shabbos. For every week that she is in this rebellious state, we diminish her ksuva 7 dinarin. Rabbi Huda says, no, shiva tarpeikin. Trapeikin. We go ahead and we diminish the ksuva 7 trapeikin. Now we're going to discuss what a trapeik is. And masayu poches. Until what point do you diminish the ksuva? Ad kened ksuvasa. So you continue to diminish the ksuva until there is no ksuva left. And at that point in time, Rashi says, once you have diminished the amount of the ksuva, the husband divorces her, and obviously what? She doesn't get the ksuva upon divorce. Rabbi Yossi says, Li'olam hu poches v'holich ad shem tibol yirushim makom acher gover himenu. Rabbi Yossi says, no, we continuously deplete the ksuva, even past the value of the ksuva itself. Why? Because in the event that should she inherit some property, she will actually owe the husband money from that inherited property. V'chein ha'moreit al ishto. Similarly, if a husband rebels against his wife, Mosifin al ksuvasa shlosha dinar nebos, and now we will discuss why it doesn't seem to mirror. Right? If a wife rebels against the husband, we diminish her ksuva by 7 dinar in a week. But if he rebels against her, we only add on 3 dinar. Now we'll discuss why that is. Rabbi Huda says no, shlosha trapikin. Rabbi Huda says no, we add on 3 trapiks. Fine. The Gemara says, Moredes mimai. What is the case of the rebellious wife? How exactly is she rebelling against her husband? Rav Huna Omar mitash mishamita. Rav Huna says that she refuses to go ahead and have and engage in intimacy, be intimate with her husband. Now we're going to discuss the context of the framework of this as well. But she refuses intimacy with her husband. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Mimalacha. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda says, no, she refuses to work. Now remember again, when we say work, that's the idea, going back to the previous Mishnah, that Chazal said a woman is obligated to generate a basic amount, let's say, of wool. That doesn't mean she has to pursue a career outside of the house. But there are certain types of malacha that she's obligated to do within the house. So let's read the Mimalacha. So now the fundamental machlokas, Rav Huna and Rav Yossi, what does it mean moredes? Is she rebelling that she won't engage in intimacy or she won't work? So the Gemara says, well, let's look at the Mishnah, v'china mored al ishto. So remember the Mishnah said the second case in the Mishnah was a husband who rebels against his wife. So if you say that mored rebellion means a refusal to engage in intimacy, then I understand how the husband could rebel against his wife as well. But Ravosa, again, if it says that he won't work, is he obligated to work for her? So the Gemara says, in Ba'omer Einizan Ve'eini Mefarnis. Yes, there is. There could be a case like this where what? Where he says, I'm not going to feed you, I'm not going to support you. But 1 second, Rabosai, if he's going to say, I'm not supporting you, then what? We learned before that's what Rabosai. That's grounds for immediate divorce. Remember, the Mishnah speaks about a gradual either diminution of the ksuva or adding on to the ksuva. But if a husband says, I'm not supporting you at all, then that's grounds for immediate divorce. The Gemara says, V'lav, li'im luchei beibai. Okay, we say grounds for immediate divorce, but Rabbi said, do you think we actually make immediate divorce? Rather, what do? We speak with him a little bit. We try to convince him to come around. And what the Mishnah teaches us is that while we're trying to convince him to come around and do the right thing, what do? If he rebels against her, meaning that he won't support her, we're slowly adding on a little bit to the ksuva each and every day. Meisvei, the Gemara raises the kasha. Achas li arusa unesua vafi lanida vafi l'chola. Now the Braisa says that the law of Moredes applies whether a woman is an Arusa, a Nesua, a Nida, whether she's sick, or even if she's a Shomer HaSyavam. Bishlam al-Man Damram Mimalacha Shapir. So both say, this makes sense according to the Man Damram who says that what is Moredes? Moredes is a case where she refuses to work. Then I understand how you could have Moredes in all of these cases. But according to Mandarim, it says that Moredes is a case where what Rabbi say, where the wife refuses intimacy. Nida bas tashmishi is a need, right? Is it? It's not permitted for a man to be intimate with his wife who's a nida. So let's say she's a nida and she says, I refuse to be intimate with you. Shkoyach, she can't be intimate anyway. So that can't be the definition of Moredes. Well, so listen to this. Amar lacha, Any donor, any odoma mishiyish la pas pesalo, the misha ain lo. Rabbi say you cannot compare someone who has bread in the basket to someone who's not. Rabbi say we saw this expression a few days ago. A few days ago, was it yesterday? Yesterday, right? So remember again, this expression is actually said by Rashi. Point. Yeah, it was yesterday's daf. Rashi points out by a tainus, by a fast day. That Rabbi say we know again psychologically, if a person knows that they have the ability to eat, it gives them the ability to continue to fast. Versus a person who does not have food at his immediate disposal, the fast becomes a little bit more intense. So it applies that over here. Although a husband is not permitted to be intimate with his wife who's an Ida, so there's a difference when she says, I will not be intimate with you, meaning that that's her neder that she's making, or her statement that she's making, versus a circumstantial situation, because in a circumstantial situation, a husband knows that in a little bit she's going to go to a mikvah, and she's going to be permitted to him, versus if she's going in and she's saying, I am not going to be intimate with you, then ultimately the husband realizes that there's no hope of future intimacy. So the Gemara just pointed out that that price that the Gemara quotes is not a riot one way or the other. Bishlam leman d'amar mitashmish. So I understand, according to Mandarmo, says that moredes means that she refuses to be intimate. Hainu diktani chola. That's why the Braisa brings up the case of the chola, the woman who's sick. El leman d'amar mi malacha. Chola bas malacha. So because remember, even if a woman is sick, so intimacy is still possible. But if you say that moredes means that lemaisa, again, she won't work. Chola bas malachi is a woman who's ill. Is she capable of doing work? Ella, so remember, we're just trying to figure out what does moredes mean? What's the rebellion, so to speak? Is it against intimacy or work? Well, so listen to this. Ella, mitashmish kule alma dahab lo pligi dahavi moredes. Everyone agrees, Rabbi Osei, that if a woman refuses intimacy with her husband, or for that matter, a husband refuses to be intimate with his wife, everyone agrees that that is moredes. Everyone agrees that that is a case of what we'll call marital rebelliousness. And if it's the wife who's rebellious, we diminish her ksuva each and every week. And if it's the husband who's rebellious, we go out and we add on to his ksuva every single week. So pligi, keep pligi, when is there a machlokas? So mimalacha, in the case of where the wife refuses to work, or husband refuses to work, mar sabar mimalacha lo havya morades, one opinion holds that refusal to work does not label her a morades. Umar savra mi malacha nami havi moredes. And the other opinion says no. From malacha, from work, is also called the moredes. So Rabbi say that is the fundamental machlokes. Rabbi say this is very important because halacha lemaisa, the case of moredes is only a situation where she refuses intimacy. If she refuses to work, that is not the case of moredes. Halacha lemaisa, the case of a rebellious wife, so to speak. And by the way, it's not just wife. Remember, it goes both ways. Wife or husband is when one spouse refuses intimacy. But remember, we still have to go ahead and qualify this. What does this mean? Husband desires intimacy with his wife. Wife says, I'm not interested. Then suddenly she's a moredes, right? So we'll have to discuss again the context in which this is applicable. I'm actually not going to expound on this, right? So we will discuss, right? No, but in all seriousness, I was supposed to say, right? The wife says, right, she just says, I'm not in the mood. I'm not interested. So that can't be a moredes situation, because obviously, Rabosai, again, we get ourselves into a difficult situation. So we have to define the context. I'm actually just going to stick to the Gemara. says the Gemara, Gufa, Hamoredes al Baila. A woman goes in and rebels against her husband. We go out and we diminish from her ksuva 7 dinarim a week. Rabbi Huda says, Shiva trapikin, 7 tropics. Rabbi Sinu Chazur, listen to this. So the rabbis went in, Rabbi Sinu Chazur v'namnu. Rabbi Sinu Chazur v'namnu means that the rabbis subsequently agreed on an additional framework as well. Listen to this. Sheyuhu macharizin ala arba shabbosos zuachazu. We announce about her 4 weeks, one after the other. Now, boss, now look at Rashi just a moment. Chazu v'namnu shelo yishu osa lefachos ma'at ma'at eliyaf sidua kol ksuvas la'achar arba shabbos la'achraza. Instead of diminishing the ksuva little bit by little bit, what we do is we engage in a 4 week process where we go ahead and we announce that she is a moredes. We'll discuss where we announce. V'sholkin la beizdin, and beizdin sends her a messenger saying, message. Yodas, heavy yodas, shafilu ksuva sayach mea mana. Even if your ksuva is 100 mana, hifsarata, you will go out and you lose it. You will lose it. Achas liarusa unusuva afilu nido afilu chol afilu shomeres yavam. That Rabbi will say, ultimately, at the end of the day, It does not matter who she is. So I'll say, I want to be clear. In the original formulation of this halacha, a woman would lose a little bit of her ksuva each and every week. Subsequently, the rabbis created a different model, where essentially we go ahead and we announce, we call her out that being a moredes, 4 Shabbosos in a row, 4 weeks in a row, Bazin sends her messengers telling her not to do this. If after 4 weeks she still persists in this behavior, she loses her ksuva in its entirety. Even if she has a large ksuva, a very high amount of ksuva, she loses the entire amount after 4 weeks. So remember, the Braisa just said, even if she's a Nida. So Rechei Bar Yosef, I don't understand. How can you label her a Moredes if she's a Nida? She can't have Bia anyway. Because this is what we just said before, that Lamaisa, again, this idea of Moredes is not just simply that she's not engaging in intimacy, but rather she's making a statement that she will not engage in intimacy. Amra mi barchama, in machrizin, I listen to this, Ella, Bebate Knesios Ubate Midrashos. So we'll say on those 4 Shabbosos, so where do we announce? We announce it in Shulin Beis Medrash. Amarava Dekinami Diktani Arba Shabbosos Zuachazu. Because interesting if we announce, remember that's why the Braisa said that we announce 4 Shabbosos. Why Shabbos? Because that's time when people are in Shul. See that it's done in Shul. So we'll say, so I guess it's like, you know, Kiddush is sponsored by the Schwartz family. Mincha, right? Mincha will be at 7:25, and you know, Mrs. Glickstein is a Moredes, right? You know, so you know, whatever it is. But the idea is, we'll say, obviously they're going ahead, and Moshe, you'll have to put a new column in the bulletin, you know? So the idea over here is that there was a public shaming in order to go ahead and get her to recant. So we'll say now here we have to understand, we still haven't understood the context yet. Sorry, Barchama, Pamayim Shochin Lami Bezdin, Achas Kodim Achraza, V'Achas La'Achra Achraza. Bezdin sends her messengers to get her to change her ways, once before the announcement and once after the announcement. Dar Sharvachim Barachit Barachista, Halacha Krabasinu. And on Nachim Neshin and Rachista, that the Halacha follows the rabbis. So we'll say, so understand, there's a fundamental nafkamina. In the Mishnah's model, there is a gradual diminishing of the ksuva week after week after week after week. And essentially, we go ahead and we try to get her to change her mind up until the point that she depletes her ksuva. After she depletes her ksuva, the husband could divorce her, and there's no longer a ksuva obligation. According to the Rabbi Singhu, this whole thing is a 4-week process.
Much more accelerated.
Absolutely. And after 4 weeks, if she does not go ahead and change her... Again, the rabbis, the rabbanim seem to feel that if after 4 weeks she's just going to persist in this behavior, there's no point in keeping the husband chained to this particular marriage. Let him get divorced, but he also shouldn't be financially penalized, and he should be able to get out of this without paying ksuva.
Even if he cannot divorce her right away, as long as she still has ksuva.
Husband could always divorce her, but he has to pay. The chap of the moredes is he's going to have an out without having to pay. So Amrav, now we're not finished yet. Rava says this is mistaken. Now what Rava is commenting on is saying that the halacha follows the Rabbanon, that we engage this 4-week accelerated process is a mistake. Armali Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, my burcha, say what's so wrong about it? What's mistaken? Ana Amrisa Nehele, I said it over before him. Umishmendigah Rabban, I said it over the name of a great man. Amrisa Nehele, Umanu, who is the great person who also echoed this same statement? Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi says, so Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Chanina was also on board with this. V'ihu kiman savar, who does he hold like? Ki had itma Rav Amar Rav Sheshes, halacha nimlochin ba. Rabbi says, if you take a look at Rashi, V'ihu kiman savar, Rav Damar Burcha, who does Rava hold like where Rava said the rabbis were mistaken? Nimlochim ba Rashi's mashin eskito machzir alash atachzer ba ubesoch kach pochsin miksuvas shiva dinar b'shabbos. Rava say Rava is of the opinion. Rava didn't like this accelerated process of the rabbis. Instead, Rava felt that we should have a more protracted process when we diminish the ksuva a little bit by a little bit to give them time to work on this marriage. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar. I skipped the line. So he holds like Rav Sheshes, who says that literally nimlachin ba, we try to discuss this with her and try to get her to change her mind. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Sheshes halacha ein nimlachin ba. On the other hand, Rav Sheshet said that the halacha is that no, we do not discuss this with her. Instead, this is a 4-week process, and if at the end of 4 weeks she does not comply, she does not change her ways, then lamaisa what? He could divorce her with no ksuba. I will say, so now the Gemara asked the question we've been waiting for this entire time. Hechi damyo morebet. I will say, obviously, again, all kidding aside, let's say the woman is just not in the mood. So because she's not in the mood, or because she's just not interested, or because, you know, let's say there are times where women undergo physiological changes as well, where let's say, again, their desire for intimacy changes. So now because a woman doesn't want intimacy, the husband could diminish her ksuba and go ahead and divorce her over time without paying her anything. Well, says no. So what's the case? Hey, chidam yamora, that's Amra, remember, listen to this. The Amra ba'inale umitzarinale. Where she says, no, I want to remain married to this man, but I would like to make him suffer. So I will say, so what she's saying over here is, in this case, she is depriving him of intimacy in order and purpose, in order to make his life miserable. So that's the case of Moredes, where a woman, Dafka, does this, using intimacy as a tool to some. Now, again, maybe she's angry at him, maybe she's upset at him, maybe she wants something from him, but at the end of the day, she's purposely withholding intimacy in order to make him suffer. Rashi says, the Amra ba'inale, sheyesh l'kol fa'aydi b'chisa suva. So she says again, I want to remain married. Meaning, the Bible says, we're going to, as opposed to, aval Amra ma'isalai. What if she says, he's repulsive to me? Now, we'll have to discuss this as well. She says, I find him repulsive. Whatever the circumstances, I just find him. Now, we'll say this could be true that she always found him repulsive. This could be found that something changed about him that she finds him repulsive. But if she says, so we'll say, obviously, you're not going to force a woman to be intimate with a man whom she is not attracted to. So if she says, ma'isalai, then we do not force her and we do not engage in this whole process. So marzutra amar kaifinala. Marzutra says, no, even if she says, ma'isalai, we still force her to be intimate with her husband. I will say, now we're going to discuss this more. We're going to see what Mazutra's concern was. So the Gemara says, the Gemara tells a story. Hava Obda, there was a woman who went ahead and refused intimacy with her husband because she said, Ma'isalai, he's repulsive to me. And what happened? Va'achba Marzutra, Marzutra forced her. I will say, now obviously, when we say force her, obviously you can't force a woman to be intimate with her husband. The idea is we urge her, right? We convince her to go ahead and be intimate with him. And what happened? So Marzutra convinced this woman, Benafak minei Rabbi Chanina Misura. And amazingly enough, she was intimate with her husband, and she had a son, and that son was Rabbi Chanina. Amazing, Rabbi Chanina Misura. Velohi, the Gemara says, that case is not really a good raya. Hasam siyata dishmaya hava. That was a case of incredible siyata dishmaya. So that was a case of divine providence. So the daughter-in-law, Rav Zavid, went ahead and rebelled against her husband. She seized some silk. So she had a silken garment that she, it was part of her dowry. So the Shaila was now, she was Moredes, which means that she was going to go ahead and get divorced without a ksuva. The Shaila was she permitted to go ahead and hold on to this silken garment that she had seized? This was part of her dowry, but was she permitted to retain it? So the Gemara says that they were, remember, this was the daughter-in-law of Rav Zavid. So Rav Zavid was present. All of these other rabbis are adjudicating this case. So they said that a woman who rebels, she is not entitled to the existing nichsei tzom barzel, the existing property that she brought into the marriage. Amu Rav Gandu Mishum du Rav Zavid Gavaraba Machnefisule, because Rav Zavid is a great man, you're going in Machnefisule, you know, you're flattering, you're kissing up to him. So remember, this was Rav Zavid's son, whose wife rebelled. So now they paskined that the daughter-in-law was not entitled to keep the silken garments that she currently had in her possession. So Rav Gamda said, you're kissing up to Rav Zavid, right? Because you want Rav Zavid's son to go ahead and end up with a little more money after the dissolution of the marriage. So because you want to kiss up to Rav Zavid, you're passing against the woman. Vam Rav Kahana, mi boy boy, Rav Avolo Poshit. Because we know Rav Kahana said that Rav had this same kasha and he did not resolve, meaning Rav did not know if a woman is a Moredes and therefore husband's going to divorce her,
is she permitted to keep the existing worn-out garments that she brought into the marriage, or is she not entitled to do that? So if Rava couldn't answer it, why do you guys think you can't answer it? It must be because Rav Zavid is right here, and you want to look in front of Rav Zavid, awarding his son additional monies for the divorce settlement. Ikeda Amri, others had a different version of this exchange. Yasi Veka Amri, Marda Lo Efsi Dablo Asel. They went ahead and actually they paskined and they said that if a woman rebels, she does not lose the blo osa. So also remember, blo osa means the worn out garments, which are the garments that she brought into the marriage. She's permitted to go and keep those. So Amar Luhu Rav Gamda, Rav Gamda said in this version, top of Samach Dalet, Mishumdu Rav Zavid Gavar Rabahu Achfisule. Because Rav Zavid is a great man, and you figure that he could afford it, right? And he's not going to get upset if you rule against him. You rule against him. Ha'am Rav Kana mi boi boi li Rava v'lo pashit. Right? Yet Rava had this same kasha, and Rava did not know what the answer was. Hashta delo itmar lo haki v'lo haki. So we'll say, so again, so the Gemara asks now, halacha l'maisa, so what do we do? So let's say a woman is a moret, that's therefore she's going to be divorced, but yet what? So remember, she doesn't get a ksuva. The interesting question is, let's say there are parts of her dowry that are still in existence. Does she get to keep those parts of her dowry or not? So the Gemara says, we don't have a resolution. Now that we don't have a resolution, what's the halacha? Tafsa lo mafkinan mina. Lo tafsa lo yahavina la. So we'll say, listen to this. Halacha l'maisa, what do we say? It depends. If she's in possession of those items that she brought into the marriage at the time of the divorce, then what? We let her keep them. We don't extract them from her. But if she's not in possession at the time of the divorce, then what? Then we will not allow her to take possession. Or in other words, because we're not sure what to do with the pieces of dowry that she brought into the marriage in a situation of morades, essentially, whoever is in possession of them at the time of divorce gets to keep them. All right, Debose, we'll stop over here. I want to be clear, we're not yet finished with the case of Moredes. And specifically, we'll have to figure out, we'll have to define a little bit more the circumstances of where she says, Mo'is alai. That's going to be repulsive to me. Debose, now just stay tuned to your email for today, because there is a possibility that we may have to do the daf before meeting tomorrow morning. I apologize about that because I have a bris. I'm just not sure of the timing yet, so I apologize in advance. So just Ari will send out an email. By 7 o'clock tonight. Okay. And maybe we'll just still stay on the lookout for the schedule. Shakayach, a good night. Everyone, Shash Kok to Ari. Again, I will say, just you should know, this is a new coffee pot special kashal of Pesach. Thanks to Ari. Again, the refreshments, thanks to Ari. A good night to everyone.
Rabbi, you realize this whole rebelliousness is preceded by foot kissing.